Prophecy should always be God-centered. How do we test and understand? Should always be based on the Word of God. It should lead us to holy living. It shouldn't be like the numbers for the lottery. You know, it's not. That's not prophecy. That's not about something of the world. It should be about something about becoming more like Jesus and walking with him. And it should stir up a hunger to hear from God and remind us that God speaks today. And so sometimes as Jay speaks, somebody like, oh, I hope there's a word for me. Other people are like, please don't come over and talk to me, you know. But really, in all of us, it should stir up a hunger to remember that God speaks and we should be listening. And it's said in that scripture to test prophecy. And the way we do that, it always has to line up with the Word of God. It's always based on that. It always has to have some sort of witness in you. It's not like someone can speak something that's totally, there should be a process of you that's like, okay, all right, there's a confirmation in me of what the Lord's doing as I speak to him about it. There, you should always take any word that you receive, and there should always be tested with other mature Christians who know you. So it's working out. The Lord's used Jay's word in our family's life in some pretty powerful ways over the years. But then it was also processing with others who knew us and knew what God was doing in us. And really, as the scripture says, you test prophecy by time and just by basic obedience as you stay close to him. And so I want to encourage you as a church that wants the work of the Spirit to move mightily among us, that this is what the scripture says, and part of that are the spiritual gifts. And so I'm so grateful for Jay. And what he comes, and I know that it's going to be a time of us hearing from the Lord through the preaching and through also the ministry that the Lord will do through Jay. So would you welcome Jay LaRue as he comes to share with us this morning?
I always feel bad when pastors have to introduce me because it's always a job, a little one. It's great to be here. It's good to see you all. Yeah, morning service, loving it. How about our worship team? Hey, fantastic. Yeah, man, loving it. Got a few instruments. That bass player, I was really digging. Yeah, yeah. With the one down slide thing there. Yeah, I haven't worn that since I was in high school. So that was, I thought that was pretty nice. I'd gladly have that come back. To Pastor Sean and Sarah, it's so good to be here. To the pastoral team, it is always an honor and privilege for us to be a part of Cornerstone. We absolutely love your church. We're here every week with you, just not in person all the time, but be guaranteed, though, it is much more in relationship than me coming to speak. Us being here to speak is just an addition to the whole process of us being part of what the Lord is doing here. I'm certainly looking forward to speaking to him and the church, probably second service. And then these other moments that we're going to be together is going to be great. John chapter 2. Always appreciate everybody serving. Wasn't it nice, the folks out here in the driveway greeting these guys up here and gals. Without them, this could not be. So I really appreciate the servants. I even sent Stephen a little thank you because he's going to be sweating all week having to work with me. John chapter 2. We're going to stay right here in this context. Verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus said unto her, he sounds almost like a young Italian boy from somewhere in New York, right, Pastor Sean? Jesus said to her, yo, woman, what's up with that man? I love this word, mine hour is not yet come. I'm only going to briefly touch it, but 1 hour in biblical time is 42 years. It's a generation. What he was saying was, this is not the generation for what you're asking. And his mother said unto his servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 to 3 firkins, half full, quarter full, 3/4 full. And he said unto them, Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. And he said, draw out now and bear it unto the governor of the feast. And they did. And when the ruler of the feast tasted the water that was made wine and didn't know where it came from, but the servants that drew the water, they knew. He called the governor, the bridegroom over. And he said to him, every man at the beginning thus set forth the good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is the worst wine. but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles that Jesus gained in Cana of Galilee and manifested, made visible forth his glory, and his disciples believed upon him. Just a couple opening statements, then we'll pray. This is a true story. It is not an allegory. It's not a parable. The Cana of Galilee is a literal village in the Galilee area. It was a wedding feast that Jesus was brought to. But it's not just a story, though, but it is a word to any generation that is desperate for the manifestation of his glory. I'm not talking about the kavod that Moses saw in Sinai, where thunders and lightnings and darkness and thick darkness, where not even a man could enter in. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the doxa, the New Testament glory. The splendor, the beauty, and the majesty of Jesus Christ, so apparent, so real. It's as you feel him in your homes, in our schools, in our governments. I'm talking about that level of his glory. This is a word to our generation. We are desperate for that kind of demonstration of the person, beauty, and splendor of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a word to us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so for, as you know already, the honor and privilege for me to be a part of what you are doing here and have done. We are almost 2 decades. Lord, I so appreciate the privilege and the honor to have been able to share not only the scriptural word, but the prophetic word, and to be able to labor with my friends, believing you to do only that which you can do, believing something that is impossible, something that we've never seen before, something unprecedented. That's what we're looking for. So, Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I love the story. It's on the third day. So immediately we begin to see something in this story that's incredible. The number 3, of course, is the number for the sovereignty of God. Something that he does, no matter what anybody thinks, no matter what anybody says. When he created, it was sovereignty. Everything is upheld by the word of his power. Something sovereign is about to take place here. The second thing in here I love is it's a wedding. Isn't it wonderful? Only you and I as Christians can have this kind of celebration. I have, they've been, all my friends, especially my prophetic friends, are sending me videos trying to get me sad and trying to get me bummed out about our present day, but it's a wedding, man. I mean, I'm actually in love with somebody who's in love with us, who's already preparing for one day to be a marriage feast, but it's a continual love relationship that we have with him. Not in some future day, it is right now. So there's a wedding is about to take place. And for this culture, a wedding was something that was very, very important. The third thing that is in this story that I love that's desperate is there's a problem. There's no wine. Now see, in our culture, we kind of are careful with liquor and careful with wine. But in this culture, you never had a feast without wine. It was a precedent. There was a time in Israel's history that the wine was the greatest in the world during Solomon's time and David's time. They would literally trade timber and precious metals for their wine. And so in this particular moment, it would have been embarrassing for the family of the groom, for even for the governor. He's almost in disbelief that you would actually plan a wedding and run out of wine. The fourth person in this, or the fourth thing in this I love is Mary. Mary becomes, for you and I, the watchman. Every generation, the Lord has established watchmen. They're male and they're female. But they're the ones who recognize something that no one else sees. I don't know how she knows they don't have any wine. She's just a guest. But there's something in her. She knows something's wrong. Something's missing. We need something. And that's what the watchman does. The watchman has this cry. And the watchman also knows only one person can bring the wine. You see, I believe that we have been longing to invite our family and our friends to this wedding feast. We're wanting them to come and be a part of what you and I know is amazing. It doesn't really matter what's going on in our world. It doesn't really matter what's going out there. This is temporal. This kingdom is eternal. And there's something about us that we're wanting to invite them. But the world doesn't see something. The world feels that we're missing something. My brothers and sisters, listen. We are like this wedding feast. We are lacking wine. If you don't mind, when we use the first terms for the Spirit of God, water is a term, air is a term, but there's the difference between water and wine spiritually is water is refreshing. So we're going to see something with these six water pots in a moment. Water refreshes us. But wine intoxicates us. You don't, mind that. When they came out of that upper room, those 50 days before that, those men were fearful. They were hiding. When Peter comes out of that room 50 days after cutting off an ear of somebody, not understanding anything about this kingdom, he's another man. They thought he was drunk with wine. He said, no, man, we're not falling all over, but we're intoxicated. We're under the influence of something we've never known before. That's the wine. I love what Jesus says. Mary understands it. She knows he's the only one for you and I as well. He's the only one that can bring the wine. It's going to take something sovereign, something miraculous. And I love what he says to the servants. And I love servants. They have no names. We don't know how many they are. I would love to talk about that. But there's no illustration of who they're just servants. So like servants. No name. No identity. They're just servants. That's what I love about servants. If I'm anything, and I appreciate everything Pastor Sean said, if anything, I'm just a servant disciple of his, that's the end of it. I'm just serving in a different way this morning. He says to the servants something ridiculous, because they knew those water pots were just it was just a kind of a show from Moses' law. It was to ceremonially wash your hands because you're filthy, you're dirty, you're a sinful person, you're a sinful man. And anybody who came to the wedding feast had to go over there. And he says to them, fill them to the brim. Now I want to talk about these six in a moment, but I'm going to come back to this. And they fill them to the brim. And you know, if you don't, I got to play like just a little bit. I'm watching our time. Now they're servants, and you know, they probably weren't even invited to the wedding. They were probably just there serving. They were like the governor. They were probably hired out by the family or by one of the guests of the family. Can you imagine filling this up? I would be thinking, what are we doing here? What, I don't understand. Nobody knows. They're complaining. You know how weddings are. They're grumbling over here. And I can't believe there's no wine. I'm leaving. I'm going to take some. If you're from New York, you take money out of the envelope. That's how that goes. We don't seal it until we eat. That's Italian and from New York. You don't seal that until you eat. What do you think? Not so good. Take a 20 out of that. He knows, though. He's been trying to hide that, but he's still from New York. So they feel, and all of a sudden, there's a miracle. I mean, I don't know. Did the smell change? They looked in. It had to be. They looked at each other. You heard what he said. We got to bring it to the governor. What happened? I don't know. I don't know if they both. Maybe there's three or four. I don't know. I'll take it. No, I'll take it. No, I'll take it. We'll all take it. So you know, I mean, they're servants. So if you don't mind, probably the little New York thing. Picked up, I don't know, it was maybe a canister, probably a little stone pot, maybe a smaller one. Just kind of, you know, that look. Because they knew something happened. Water's now, oh yeah. Walking over to the governor with that kind of look. The governor must have looked and thought, what's with you? He said, here, we got something for you to try. Wine? Where'd you buy this? At the Safeway? Comes in a can now, you know. So the governor just reluctantly almost, because he's thinking, as he already said to the bridegroom, men do the good wine first, and afterwards they bring out the trash, the junk. He starts to sip it. I love it. He calls the bridegroom over and he says, man, he says, I've never seen anything like this. See, there's something about men. See, humanity, men they'll do the best first. And when hours have gone by or generations have gone by, they'll bring out the worst. And the anticipation for humanity is that the longer it goes, the worse it'll get. That's what men do. See, I want to just talk for a moment about these six water pots of stone. There's something about being full that creates a miracle. Something changes. And so when I got born again and I got filled with the Spirit, because it was in a Catholic church, so it was 6 weeks, and I got filled. I was full. Jay became another person. Oh, Jay got saved and had some refreshing waters, but the day I got filled with the Holy Ghost, my life changed. and it hasn't been the same since. But what I didn't know was, you see, he was pouring me out. So I didn't stay full. I could understand why Sunday morning I would come out of church, be like, wow. And by Tuesday, I was Jay again. Grumbly. Oh, I was saved. Thankful I was, I'm thankful that I was forgiven. But I wasn't forgiving everybody around me. I can't believe that car's driving so slow. You know how it is. And I didn't understand what's wrong with me. Then I realized out of this story years ago, Paul's word to the church in Ephesus was, listen, be being filled. I wasn't going to get baptized in the Holy Ghost again, but I had to be filled. Noah's flood reveals it to us. You see, I'm thankful that the Lord brings rain. And many times here, even when I've been here, we've been refreshed. Almost every Sunday, I get to be in church 200 days plus a year. And so I'm constantly refreshed. And so I was thankful for those Sundays, those Tuesdays, those Wednesdays, when church was open, I was refreshed. But also there were windows from heaven that were opened up in Noah's flood. And isn't it beautiful? Malachi says, listen, I'm going to open up you, the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing that cannot be contained. And I didn't realize, though, see, we're not doors or walls. In truth, we're windows. You should be able to look through us and see something else in someone else. And isn't it nice this morning? You got these great pastors here. All the Lord is doing is just opening up Jay LaRue, as he does everywhere I go, and just pours him out. Pours him out. It isn't always like this. Sometimes it's just a hello, how are you, help somebody, serve somebody. But our lives are being poured out, a blessing to everybody we're around that is so large they can't contain it. What a church. That's who we are. But there was also the fountain of the great deep. It was opened up. I want to tell you, I love the refreshings of God. And I'm so thankful when I'm around men and women, and even with just Linda and I just talking, or I open up my Bible, and the Lord just opens this up like a window, and I'm just drinking from this, or times of worship and times of praise in my own life. I'm glad of that. But there's a place I've got to drink of the river that flows from the throne. The Lamb and the throne are in it. It's this underground water that nobody sees that you got to search for it. That place of intimacy where I'm drinking from a depth of God I never drank from before. And something happens to Jay LaRue. I am just a stone container. Nothing special about me. There's nothing about Jay LaRue. Put PhDs on there. Put anything you want on there. You print anything you want on that. I'm just still, you and I are just these stone containers, clay pots, but it's what's in the pot. It's the excellency of the powers, not of us, it's of him. It's this Christ in us. That's the hope of glory. And when I'm full, something changes. People get around me and they go, oh, Jay, they don't say it like this. They go, it's intoxicating. I know it's not me. And I'm with him, he's intoxicating. I don't mean falling over, but I'm under the influence. John would say it this way in the Revelation. I'm under the influence of the Spirit. And that's what he was. He was influenced by that Spirit. Something happens to you and I. This generation is desperate for the wine. They're in need of it. But I want to say it like this, and I'm going to really finish it more tonight. I love the Acts 2 moment. I just do. I love her coming to Pentecost. What a celebration. What a moment. The world would never be the same again in the incarnation. But that outpouring was a revolution the world had never seen before. They'd known the Spirit of God to clothe men, but they've never seen the Spirit of God in a man and outside of a man. They never saw a people baptized in that dimension. They never saw the Spirit of God in that kind of dimension. He mentioned it, but Peter will stand up and he'll declare from a prophet's view. See, I have even friends of mine now that say, you know what, Dr. J, I hate when they do that. Dr. J, we have a question for you. Don't you think the early church was the greatest moment of the church? I do. I mean, amazing. Don't you think we've never been like that? I agree. I don't think, 3,000 saved in a day? In 5 years, over almost 20,000 people. I mean, that to me, that's revolutionary. 3,000, can you imagine one day here, 3,000 cars lined up down the street, call them up in the morning, we don't know what to do. What a moment. Yes, 3,000 in one day. Peter's few words. Yeah, not a day. How about the rest of, oh, yeah, what a moment. He goes, they would say to me, don't you think we got to go back there? I said, no. I said, do you not remember what the governor of the feast said? You see, I want to say this about our God. Acts chapter 2 was the beginning of it, not the fulfillment and fullness of it. His intent always was like this wedding feast. What he did in that generation, he intended the next generation to be better, the next generation to be better, the next generation to have more, more wine, more wine, more wine, more wine. And our God, his intent is this generation would have the greatest wine the world has ever seen. That's the destiny of our God. We need a people who live for the refreshing times. We need a people who are willing to be windows, but they know when they're poured out and it's a blessing that they've got to be filled again. Not baptized in the Holy Ghost again. Once is enough with that, but to be filled, to drink from the fountain of the great deep. Well, I want to say to you this morning, we need a Joel 2. All of it. Not just the after that, I'll pour out my spirit upon your sons and your daughters. Your old men, I'm not even there yet, will dream dreams. I'm still at the young men seeing vision. I can't wait to be an old man. Even though I have grandchildren and a great-granddaughter, now I'm still not an old man yet. Disappointing is a lot of people. Except my grandkids. Grandpa, you're cool. Yeah, so are you. So let's be for a couple things this morning. This went a lot faster than I thought. I have time. I like this. At least it's 8 minutes. Yeah. This morning, can we ask him as a priestly people? Here's the cry. I'm going to cover it later. Gather everybody. Even the ones who are married, even the moms who just said, get everybody out here. But get me the priests. See, there's something about the priesthood when it comes to this. Gather the priests. Let them stand between the porch and the altar. It was just a place in Solomon's temple. Let them stand between the porch and the altar. And let them say this. Spare thy people, O God. Give not thine heritage to reproach. Let not the heathen rule over us. For they say, where is your God? He said, I'll pity my people, and he will begin to declare some things that he longs to do. I believe it's for us and to us. Can we this morning, as a priestly nation, greater than Aaron, have a whole new order that started by the man, Jesus the Christ, an endless life priesthood? Our God longs to do for his people. Can we believe this morning for an unprecedented dimension of the outpouring of his spirit, greater than Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6? Can we believe for such a thing? Oh, I would love to talk to you about how it was that day with the Roman occupancy, occupying that city, the religious, what they were going through. Those men became other men. They became what they were supposed to be. Wholly influenced by him. Intoxicated with him. I'm an intoxicated man this morning. I believe it for us. My sister, so we're recording? Great. The Lord's really heard your cry. Not only for your family, but for the ones you love. And this, the passion of intercession, the heart for intercession, the heart for the nations, the heart for missions, all of this the Lord has heard. It's really been, I like it as the midwife travail, the midwife cry. As those two women stood, and if it wasn't for the two of them, they didn't fear the king's pressure. They didn't feel the pressure of the king. They were willing, knowing that Moses, Joshua, all of that, the whole generation rested upon their decision not to kill the young men. And they withstood the king. It's amazing to me. But the promise to them was that the Lord would build a sure house. And I want you to know, my sister, the Lord will build the house that you desire within your family, within the people that you love. And the Lord will cause you to be able to reach to the nations by the word of the Lord, but more by the prayer of God. There's a lot of prayers, but the prayer of God has got to be the greatest prayer. Praying what he's praying, I mean, what is this? And so you're going to see as time goes on that the Lord will pick up the intercession. It doesn't mean you lock yourself in a room, tell the family, go do your own thing, I'm gone for 3 days. It's nothing like that. It doesn't have to be that. But there is this inner cry that remains. It's this inner travail. Certainly the earth is in this travail for the sons of God. It's always like that. If we're sensitive to it. But the Lord will begin to do this within your family. And you're going to see the Lord do some things for you that only he can do. And even here, you're going to see, I'm going to say it more to him though, but even here there's been a real cry out of the intercessors for the miracles to return, for the outpouring of the Spirit of God, for the miraculous to return, for the gifts of the Spirit to return, and for the Lord to sickle a generation. It's been the cry of the intercessors here. I heard it soon. It's been this continual cry. And you're going to see the Lord do the very things we're asking. If there was ever a moment his ear is open to the righteous, it is now. And so he's raised you. Your mom was very much like this too. Very sensitive, but very strong as you are. Sensitive to things, but strong as you are. He knows. If he has your husband, I don't know, it could just be a guy singing up there. Yeah, anyways, I'm just teasing my brother. Give me five. Yeah. And so you're just going to see this you're just going to see this continuation of it, of this particular growth. The word of God, the Lord is going to really, you're going to have a sense that I need to know it in a greater dimension. It doesn't mean you're weak in it now, but he's going to want to push you into it more. In truth, though, the intercessory part of my life is greater than any other thing I do because I understand things, I know things, I feel things, just the way it all moves. And talking and saying in this way is probably 5 or 6%, maybe 25% of what goes into the prayer time and what I know there. And hopefully it'll do it. But he is really, just the heavens are opened over this place. And it's really been not just your cry, not just the ladies, but it's been really a group of women especially that have really stood to see the Lord do what he's going to do. And you're going to watch and see it, but it's just the beginning of what the Lord intends. Yeah, so I know that you've finally taken the easy road, right? Which is so good. I saw you sitting back here, so I got to just encourage you a little bit. Yeah, and you look fantastic, by the way. Yeah, he still looks older than you for some reason. I don't know why that is. just teasing. Red. Yeah. You're going to watch the Lord begin to reestablish his covenant with you. It isn't so much just the change of venue, the change of work, but it is really because of the promise of God. And you're both of you, but especially you, but both of you, your faithfulness to the kingdom of God, faithfulness to this house. This place has had some of the most faithful men and women that I've ever seen in all these years now, in all the churches that I'm in. This place has had them. It is just the uniqueness about this place, the long-term commitment, very much like Simeon and Anna of that day. And it's been this way. And so you're going to watch the Lord begin to reestablish his covenant with your family especially, with your children especially. You're going to watch him begin to do it. And where there's been this void and this divide between them and him, this little place that's been, hasn't really connected, it never really did connect. You're going to see the Lord begin to make it up. And much of you too, without realizing it though, the tithing, and the scripture I quote out of Malachi 3 is out of the tithe and all that. But the tithing, the giving, the sacrificial lifestyle that you both have lived, the Lord is going to, he's the only one that can hold on to or even remember our sacrifices. I certainly shouldn't be remembering mine. That's not my business. I'm just to live that way as you. And I'm not going to, but he's the only one that accounts for all of them. So you're going to see the Lord begin to reward. And that's what he's coming, my brother, my sister. The reward of God is just beginning to enter into your life. It's at a good time, too, because as you begin to plan these next few years and your future financially and directionally and what you want to do, you're just going to see the Lord begin to, it's just not finances, but in every way, the goodness of God, the grace of God, the peace of God, the love of God, enlarging in your lives in a way you never thought possible. And he'll carry it to your seed and to their seed and to their seed. That's how it'll go. And so it isn't a day to begin to be less faithful or unfaithful. It's not a time for that. This is the thing that we're doing right till our last days, even though maybe direction has changed. But this isn't a day like that, because the Lord wants to command the blessing upon your people. Already now, the financial blessings upon the families. And it would be, even if your seed didn't want to follow him, if your seed didn't want to follow, they're going to have the financial blessing because the Lord's commanded it to be so. But he's not going to leave it there. That's why it's coming for them. And you're going to see the Lord do some things that only he could do. Amen. Will you stand with me, please? See, I got a dream. I have nephews and nieces. I have family who love Linda and I. They love, not sure why, they like to be with us. We're not throwing a family party unless you're there. I'm going to get married. When can you be there, Uncle Jay? What an honor. But they're tasting something. I can't explain it. But I'm looking for something in a people around the world. The prophet Zechariah will say it this way. 10 men will come to our door knocking. 10 nations. What are you doing here? We heard God is with you. We want to go where you want to go. Man, that's my dream. It's true. Please come. Father, thank you so much for this morning, for this moment, for this time, and for this week. Lord, I pray that there's out of our lives a cry will come for the outpouring of the Spirit. A wine, a vintage of you that we've never known and never seen before. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can we just thank Jay